Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, is here. We are at the stadium after this huge victory, Ira, and you writing your three-hour column, whatever you're doing over there, mixing in a hamburger in between.
Well, I'm waiting 25 minutes for John Lynch to get out of Shanahan's office. That's what I'm doing.
Sage, we got a lot to talk about in this exciting game. The Bucs are 5-1. Haven't seen this since Tom Brady was running it back in 2021. Before that, it was 2005 with Chris Sims and Brian Griese.
They are perfectly poised. 2 weeks away from a bye week, supposedly winnable game at New Orleans. No matter what happens in Detroit, this team's in good shape, especially when you look at the closing schedule.
Oh, exciting stuff. Lots to break down here, Sage. And you know who we're going to hear from now? We're going to hear from Sean Sullivan, the GM at Bill Curry Ford.
What's he say about this win?
Well, he's got lots to say about all the great offers at Bill Curry Ford. You don't want to miss this.
Please visit BillCurryFord.com and see all the amazing specials we have going on in October. We have 000 for zero down, zero interest, zero payments until the end of the year, right? So basically, the rest of this year, you have no payments. You can pay us next year. Whatever you guys want, right? Just come down and buy some cars. We'll figure all the rest out. Go to the website, see all the great specials. Follow us at, go to all of our social media sites. We have a food drive going on right now for local communities, which is really great. We have a clothing drive going on for Christmas. We have a Thanksgiving drive going on to feed families for Thanksgiving. If you are feeling charitable, come to Bill Curry Ford and please help either volunteer or drop off some supplies, because we're helping our community because we love Tampa. The Curry family's been serving it for 65 years and it still continues. Again, awesome stuff going on. Pickup and delivery and mobile service free of charge. Just call
BillCurryFord.com is where you can find Sean. It is really incredible. Sean's not joking around. 0% financing offers, no, zero money down, no payments till next year. BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget to ask Sean for the Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan discount. And I will talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration later, Sage. I'm turning off my microphone. We need the State of the Sage address on this game. Let it rip.
I think one of the most encouraging things about this 5-1 start, in addition to being 5-1, is I think this team's got a lot of area to grow in. I mean, I don't think they played great, and they beat a good team today. The Niners are a good team. They came in 4-1. They were 3-0 on the road, the Niners were, before today. And the Bucs outplayed them in the key areas. Yes, Lee, takeaways, you know, -2 for San Francisco. Sacks, you know, Mayfield was protected very well, and Mac Jones was not. And that's without the possible fumble caused by Lavonnie David. That was overturned. Could have been worse. McLaughlin missing a makeable field goal. Could have been worse. Once the game started, you know, and I saw that they had McCaffrey under control, which they did, especially his running game. For whatever reason, he's not running well this year, Lee. He's much more effective catching the ball than he is running the ball. I don't know what's going on with McCaffrey. Maybe slowing down. Maybe the O-line's not good enough.
Maybe
or whatever. Mayfield started slow. Remember, he missed a Buka twice?
Behind. Yeah, threw way behind.
Threw way behind.
But then he got warmed up.
The Bucs are getting unbelievable contributions from unlikely sources. Absolutely. Cameron Johnson, he hadn't done anything except return kicks.
Exactly.
And he was good at it.
Yes.
He hadn't caught a pass this year, Lee. Not one. Tez Johnson, all of a sudden, boom. Last week he was effective. Today, that was a beautiful grab.
Yeah.
That wasn't an
hell
easy
of a catch.
Yeah. Kindle. Vider? Who ever heard of this guy?
Vildor, Ira.
Vildor.
Kindle read the play well. I had to use that.
He read the play well, but I threw a bouquet at Hassan Reddick. Maybe because I talked to him last week. They didn't block him on that play, and he was in Jones's face. So I think that contributed to the pick. Jamel Dean, who I've been saying all year, they need to keep no matter under any circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
Wait a minute.
Obviously, he's been listening to this podcast because he's playing out of his mind, Lee. Now, you said he's their best cover corner, and I disagreed vehemently, and looks like you're right.
Well,
this year, he's certainly been their best because McCollum's been okay. Not great. So anyway, Steve, 5-1. It's unbelievable what's going on here. And I put it in the column. I might as well put it out here on the podcast. Bulls skeptics, cover your ears. Cover your ears. He's got 20 wins in his last 29 games. He's got 20 wins.
Is that good?
I'd say that's pretty good. Okay. That's better than 2 out of 3. And that doesn't count the playoffs, you know. But, you know, that's over the, you know, the late stages of the 23 season, not 24. So it covers a span of time. Anyway, this team's playing hard, Lee. And before I kick it to you, I don't think this is an exaggeration. The biggest play in the game was Mayfield's run.
Oh, that's
the biggest play in the game.
Yeah.
Because the Tez Johnson catch doesn't happen without that play.
Precise.
I said this 4:49 sprawled on the ground. It might have been 5, could have been 6. I don't know how he does it, Lee, but he does it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. On a regular basis. I talked to a lot of the offensive linemen, as did you, and that play galvanizes the team. And it demoralizes the other team.
I'm glad you said team, because I talked to defensive and offensive guys. They all said the same thing. They get amped up. Yeah, I said, we get amped up, we see that.
You know who makes that kind of play? The MVP of the league.
Well, I was going to say a winners. That's even better. I'm going to reference something you touched upon, but I'm going to go a little deeper. Not that long ago, when I was still a baseball-aholic, and you told me about the Cardinals. You said, one thing about the Cardinals, they bring a kid up from the minor leagues to really play someone that's hurt. He's ready to play. Well, you know what? Credit not just to Jason Light and his scouting staff, but also Josh Grizzard and his staff. Cameron Johnson, where'd he come from? Some BFE college, Barton College? Yeah, Graham Barton College and nothing college. He comes to the NFL last year. No, he didn't look like he was ready. But here he is on the bottom rung of the ladder when it comes to the depth chart.
Took Trey Palmer's spot, right?
Took Trey Palmer's spot, but as a returner. I don't even think he expected to get on the field as a receiver today. He comes out. What's he do? Yeah, he was wide ass open. He could have dropped it. No, he caught it, and he scored. Not only did the Bucs scout this guy right, but Grizzard and his staff had him ready to play.
Johnson, a 7th-round pick.
Tez Johnson, same
example.
Same thing. And also, I guess you could throw in Sean Tucker. Although he's been here a year, he had a touchdown today. He was ready to play. He's number 3 running back.
You can say Vildor on the defensive side.
Yeah, that's defense. But I was just focusing on offense. Cameron Johnson specifically, Sean Tucker, and yes, Tez Johnson. Those guys, when they needed those guys to produce, they stepped up, they were ready to play, and they got the job
you
done.
You might even throw Haggard in there, Lee. You might.
Haggard, he also got hurt.
Yeah, you
got
to throw Haggard in there. Unbelievable.
You're right. Haggard's been playing well. And when they brought this Elijah Klein, he got his ass blown up the first play he was in. He got destroyed.
You thought it was Haggard. And I said, no, that's Klein.
Yeah. He got his ass blown up. So, no, he wasn't ready to play, but Haggard's done a hell of a job.
All right, Sage, I got a few for you since you guys are flying all over the map. How about this, Ira? Todd Bowles won his 32nd game as a Bucs head coach. He passed Bruce Arians, and Bowles' winning percentage, Ira, is .561 as a head coach with the Bucs. Tony Dungy's at .563.
Oh.
Dungy's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And everybody, Gruden and McKay are all the only other ones with Dungy ahead of Bowles. I'm not putting Bowles in the Ring of Honor, but those three guys are in the Ring of Honor.
McKay doesn't have a higher winning percentage.
No, just total wins.
Oh, total wins. Yeah, yeah.
So, a landmark night for Todd Bowles on that front. Jamel Dean, his first career sack. Now, they don't blitz him very much. And I got right to Dean early, got him alone, and said, look, first career sack. You know what? Should they be blitzing him more? Should it have been going on all these years? And he's like, look, I would say so, but, you know, you got
to
do what I got
to
do.
Did he tell the sage to shut up about me? Did he give you that line?
No, but he thinks he's having a pretty good year.
He is.
He's the one who predicted in training camp, and then I asked him again because I wanted to see if he wanted to take it back. He's the one who said he thought this team was better than the Super Bowl team because of how they prepare and just the feeling. And he said it again tonight. He's like, look, we're winning the games that are the tough, tough games to pull out.
You think the Bucs might be rethinking this idea that the Dean's not going to be on the team next year, no matter what.
Yeah. They didn't listen to Lee. That's what happened.
Well, they can change their minds and pay the man.
Sure.
Good.
But you know what? Here he is. He's standing. He's the top corner right now. Zion McCollum, I saw him leave the locker room today, still in the cast.
Yep.
And, you know, Dean is getting it done. Now, I asked Dean just a little interesting nugget because a couple of guys said in the press box, I did too. It's 4th and 10. If Dean just doesn't catch that interception and just puts it in his hands and spikes it, the Bucs are going to get 25 yards better field position. Now, this happened last year. Levante David didn't bat a pick down, And then next thing you know, Bucky Irving fumbles.
You're critiquing a guy that just picked the ball off.
No,
Stevie?
I asked him. Of course I am. But I asked him, I said, did the coaches tell you a fourth down, anything deep, knock it down? He said, hell no. They said, catch the damn ball, take advantage of your opportunities. And so for anybody wondering, you know, maybe Dean shouldn't have caught that. That's what he's coached to do. Now, of course, all the coaches would praise him for being a genius if he just spiked the ball and didn't catch it, like Rashad White the other day, last week in Seattle, but just a little nugget there. Ira, Tez Johnson did an on-field interview after the game with Jeff Darlington of ESPN. When's the last time a Buccaneers seventh-round pick did a live TV interview with ESPN on the field? That's what's going on here. This is crazy.
You know, I was walking to the elevator with Darlington. True story. With 5 minutes left in the game, we were both going downstairs. And Darlington was talking to his producer. He's right standing next to me. And Darlington goes, you know, who the heck should we get? Who's the story? What's the story? He knew he wasn't going to get Mayfield out on the field.
Yeah, CBS guy.
So I said, you got to get Tez Johnson. and he goes, yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy. I don't care if he only caught one pass, which he did. Only one pass.
I'll add to that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll add to that. While I'm outside the locker room, players are just coming in. Glazers are there with their receiving line. And Jeff walks by, and he comes up to me and goes, Lee, Tez Johnson. When was he drafted? I said, seventh round. Thanks. And
thanks.
I told him this story, which he did not hear this story before. And it's well documented that when Light called up Tez Johnson, say, hey, we're going to draft you. And Tez Johnson's first reaction was, what took you so long? And Light's reaction was, well, we didn't have a pick in the sixth round. And Darlington never heard that, so I'm guessing he may have used that as well.
How about the six sacks, Steve? What do you got to say about
that? Oh, my God.
They had 10 coming in. Six today. Now it's 16.
Hey, they weren't coming off the edge, except for Yaya, so that was good.
You got two.
No, I know. I'm being a little wise guy, but they weren't coming from Reddick. But, look, the pressure was there in the locker room. Vita Vea and Elijah Roberts were needling each other, you know, because Vea got half a sack on that, but it was.
He also got a running roughing into the punter.
The six sacks, fantastic. Look, they played a rough first half, and just like the Eagles game, they clamped down again in the second half.
They got four picks now, and they had seven all last season.
Wow.
So they're doing better in that category.
On the sacks, real quick, I was talking to Yaya after the game in the locker room.
Picked him that he was going to be my star of the game.
You did.
Well, he had two sacks. So that's four sacks in three games against San Francisco. I don't know if he likes sourdough or what.
Oh, man.
If that's the case, they need to feed him sourdough every game. He said that the Bucs had seen something. He wasn't specific. That they saw something on tape they thought they could take advantage of with a pass rush. Well, they got six sacks, so maybe they did.
I thought the Bucs were the more physical team today, Steve. I thought they deserved to win.
Yeah, look, San Francisco struggled on the offensive line through the year.
That's not a good running
team. That's why McCaffrey, they're bad. He has 3.2 yards.
Said that on the previous podcast.
His 3.2 yards a carry today. That's his season average. You know, this is sort of what he does. And
I thought they contained him pretty well in the flats.
Servasio Dennis.
Yeah, they did.
Dennis did a good job.
Yeah, Dennis spied him, didn't he?
And Jones played a lot in the third quarter. Deion Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Dennis played well early. He kind of fell off a little bit, but they didn't blitz very much early. That was a big thing on the television broadcast. They had data. It was like the least blitzing Todd Bowles ever in the first half of the game. And then, you know, he must have seen something and switched up.
And he didn't blitz that much against Seattle either, Steve. Not that much against Seattle.
Yeah, it was a lot more than today. But look, Bowles is feeling it now. Mayfield, the MVP chance. They asked Mayfield about the MVP chance that came down from the crowd. He said, look, it's week six. And that he just...
You saw the quote from John Lynch.
He left it right there. Yeah, I want to get to that Lynch quote, which is very strong. Very strong. I'm going to write a story about it later. Tez Johnson told the story in the locker room that he caught the touchdown pass and started hearing the MVP chants. And he's looking around and he says to Sterling Shepard, "Why I haven't done anything all year. They call me MVP." Shepard says, "Mayfield. It's Mayfield."
I talked to several players and I asked them about Mayfield. Half of them. Maybe more. Before I said anything about MVP, they said he's MVP. Like, for example, Winfield. I was asking Winfield, what's that do for you when you see your quarterback run like that for 15 yards to get a first down? And before I could say anything else, he's MVP. You know, that was their punt. They're saying, coming around, he's our MVP.
Steve, how does he do it? How does he do it? He runs a 5-1-40. How does he do it?
And he's juked that one dude out of his shoes, man.
He's got a good sense of balance.
He gets low, and it's unbelievable.
Escapability.
He's on pace now, Ira, for 4,360 yards, 34 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
He's also averaging 7 yards a scramble. That's not bad.
That would be the best season, in my opinion, in a Buccaneers quarterback history.
Oh.
Over Brady the first 2 years?
Brady didn't have 34-3. Plus, just saying on pace, the Bucs are also on pace for 14 wins. So there's that. So yeah. I don't know. This could be the greatest season if they can get to 13 wins like Brady did in 2021. And he stays on this crazy pace with the rushing as well. It's wild.
Didn't Brady have 5,000 yards with the Bucs once?
Well, anyway, that's just my opinion, Ira. You know, Brady obviously had a huge 2021, but I'm feeling the love.
Well, Brady didn't run like Mayfield.
No.
Get first down.
Exactly. So what a debate that would become. But now the Ibuka loss with the hamstring, we don't know how long it's going to be. Nobody knows, obviously. I don't know why the hamstrings keep happening. It surely is at a very high rate. But, you know, this could kill his rookie of the year bid if it costs him two, three games, and then a game or two to get his legs back.
Somebody else moves up. Lee, I think at this point it's fair to say that they're not lurching towards the bye week, but they can't wait to get to the bye week.
Lurch.
They just want to survive till the bye week. Maybe split the next two games. Now, look, Buck fans are going to say, well, why not win the next two games?
Sure.
That's a big ask.
It is. But
that's a big ask.
But still strive.
But to me, anything less than 6-2 is unacceptable at this point.
Well, God, what, you expect them to lose 2 in a row? They're 5-1, of course.
Yeah. Well, they'll be underdogs in Detroit.
You know, it's a big ask, but hey, look, Tristan Wirf said it was interesting. He talked in the locker room right away, right after the game, no celebration. They were talking about prepping for Detroit and staying focused on Detroit. And you know what? They do have an opportunity there. Detroit's vulnerable.
Detroit's got a big time offense, Lee. Big time. It's going to be a real test for the Buck defense. But they've answered all the questions. I mean, the one game against Philly, they weren't ready at the start. They paid the price, and they lost. They didn't quit. They didn't give up.
No.
Steve, you saw, and I was a little surprised to see this, but I did look it up. Those are the first quarter points that the 49ers have given up this season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. First 5 games, 0.
We rag on the Bucks defense. But a team like the 49ers, yeah, they're banged up. I get it. They still have McCaffrey, this Jason Bourne character, who's very, very good, it seems like. Still, you hold them to a field goal, that's playoff team.
They had 4 field goals and a touchdown.
Yeah, but 1 field goal in the second half, that's putting your foot down.
Bowl said on the 2 long Bourne receptions that guys fell down. Gene, is that true, or they just got beat?
Well, no, you know Dean what? Did once, right?
On the halftime interview on CBS. He wasn't joking, but he half joked. He was like, well, if we didn't fall down a couple of times, you know, if we could keep our feet, I think we'll be all right. So apparently they did. The quote from John Lynch that you got as you waited for him, Ira, Lynch going on the record publicly saying about Mayfield, this MVP talk isn't contrived. It's real. Other coaches and GMs of other teams don't say that kind of stuff. Do you ever remember MVP talk about any Buccaneer in week 6 and 5 and 4?
Outside of Brady.
I don't even know if they talked about it that early then.
I think he's the leading contender right now.
It's hard to argue against him.
Long way to go, Steve.
Very long way to go.
This team can
I don't know who he's going to be throwing to in Motown.
This team without Baker Mayfield easily could be 1-5. All those last-minute victories because of Mayfield. Take those away, you're 1-5. Not you, Ira, but the Buccaneers are 1-5.
This thing with his legs, I had no idea he could do this. No idea he could do this. Now, of course, we didn't see Mayfield play that much when he was a Cleveland Brown.
Oklahoma, he did a lot.
In Tampa.
He's very similar to Oklahoma.
He didn't run that much in Cleveland, even in his younger...
He has a knack. Bowl says he has a knack. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. He's got a knack.
Now, Ira, we've got a knack of telling people about great companies, and that would be Florida's Elite Restoration. Family-owned, just like Bill Curry Ford, family-owned. Florida's Elite Restoration covers the whole Bay Area across the state. And owner Josh Martin, he's a big Bucks fan, cares about all our listeners, cares about everybody out there, gives everybody a free inspection, free evaluation with top technology and experienced people. So if you've got water damage, mold, you're the water damage whisperer, Ira, fire damage, flood damage, storm damage, whatever it is, you call them first, 24/7. They're going to be out there as soon as you want them out there with a full inspection, a full report. And if you need them to fight your insurance company for you to get the money that's coming to you and do the work and restore your property top shelf, they'll do it. And they'll give you $500 back if you mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call.
And make them your first call.
Definitely. You don't need to run call your insurance company and give some incorrect recorded statement that's going to screw you. You know, if you have a fire, call 911. But otherwise, call Florida's Elite Restoration. But more important, get to their website immediately, floridaseliterestoration.com, so you understand what they're all about. And put them in your disaster plan, and hopefully you don't have a disaster. All right, Sage.
Can you imagine what Buck fans are feeling right now, Steve? Buck Nation?
Yeah, we're fans. I'm beside myself, too. 5-1. This is unbelievable. And look what they're doing. I mean, look what this team that Jason Light has built, as well as how well, as Lee mentioned before, the coaches are preparing these players to step up and step in. And, you know, they won going away.
Are you disappointed that it didn't take a last-minute comeback today, Steve?
No.
That disappoints you?
I predicted a 30-21 win, so it was 30-19. So,
very
no.
Nice,
no,
Steve.
I thought we'd
very
have
nice.
A... little more comfort zone here.
Lee, you might have picked the Niners, Lee. You might have picked the Niners.
I did.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Ira, you're 6-0.
I am.
Undefeated. You might be able to take it the distance, Sage.
That's what I'm looking at.
That would be something.
I'm looking at a 72 Dolphins type year.
Then you can retire. I'm undefeated.
The 3-0 on the road, 5-1, 3-0 on the road going into Detroit. They've played some good teams.
San Francisco is 4-1.
San Francisco is a good team.
I don't care if they have injuries. I don't care if Fred Warner went down.
Seattle went to Jacksonville, beat them.
The Bucs have a ton of injuries. Absolute ton of injuries. Yeah, and Seattle added to its record today. Now, Ira, look, Rashad White took the load. Sean Tucker complimented him nicely.
They're running just well enough, Steve, just well enough that Grizzard hasn't given up on the run, which to his credit. And Mayfield didn't throw a lot of passes today, Steve. He didn't.
23 passes. They ran 26 times. And there goes Rashad White, 17 for 65, 3.8 yards a carry. Sean Tucker, 6 for 25, 4.2 yards a carry. And that beautifully schemed 9-yard touchdown run, he walked right in. And, you know, I talked to him very briefly after the game, but you know what Josh Grizzard is doing, the team is now averaging 27.5 points a game. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's a notch below those 2 years the first 2 years with Brady. A notch below. That's pretty strong. I think those teams averaged about 30 the first 2 years of Brady. I mean, given Brady wasn't dealing with all these injuries. Like Mayfield.
No, no chance.
Does this mean that Grizzard's on his way to get a head coaching job, Steve?
Probably.
Probably. Yeah, and I think a lot of fans don't really believe that, but it's just how the NFL works. And if he wants it, unless he's one of these guys like Ben Johnson, I'm going to stay another year, get some more seasoning, find the right option. But, man, a lot of these guys run for the money, and if Grizzard could get it, I think he would.
Lee, Mayfield's thrown one pick in 6 games. One. And there was a lot of chatter that he's got to cut down from last year.
Did he
lead the league last year?
Yes.
Tied for
the league lead. Well, he's thrown one in 6 weeks. One.
And it's obvious that they're not playing their best ball. I mean, offensively, fantastic. But the defense is not playing its best ball. Todd Bowles has not figured out how to stop teams from carving them up to a degree. They haven't played a complete game yet. And they're not getting the edge rush.
Considering the pass rush today, 360 yards, it's not really acceptable against Mac Jones. That's not a good performance.
No, a lot of guys wide open. And, you know, obviously that's not what Bowles is aiming for. But, you know, run defense was strong enough. And they clamped down. It's just unbelievable. It really is. Now, Carolina bumped their record to 3-3, boys. And
Canales is doing a good job.
You know, they played very strong against Dallas. They're doing this without Chuba Hubbard. Benches.
Dowdle's coming in, going crazy.
ATN, Dowdle, it's just...
And the Bucs cut them twice down the stretch.
Yeah,
right,
twice late. So, you know what? I'm not saying Carolina's a juggernaut, but it'll sure would be interesting if the Bucs only have a 2-game lead on Carolina with 3 games to go, because they have them twice.
You still don't like that Panther defense, though, Steve. You don't like it.
Well, it's not very good.
Yeah, it's not very good. Yeah, it's just not.
No, don't have the talent.
Who's Mayfield throwing to in Motown? Who's he throwing to?
Wait, who's he throwing to?
In Motown, Cameron Johnson, Dez Johnson, Shepard, maybe Evans will be back.
Now, Jason Light said on the Buccaneers Radio Network pregame show, He said he is confident, hopeful. He's phrased it a couple different ways that they'll get two offensive starters back in Detroit.
Well, it's not going to be Malk or Gedeky, so.
I don't know, but Light was encouraged, so that's encouraging. I have a feeling it might be Evans, but.
Otten's picking it up a little, Lee. He's
picking up a little for a couple of reasons. One, they don't need him to block as much as they did earlier in the year. And two, and I think this is Josh Grizzard. They said they're watching the Bucks offense tape, and they said there's guys open all over the place. So I don't know if Grizzard is actually scheming these guys open. We heard Cameron Johnson today said he was in shock he was so open.
You know, Lee, to one of your previous points, and I'm sure you agree with it, when you were talking about getting guys ready, you got to credit the assistant coaches too, Lee.
Yes,
not
yes.
Just Bowles.
Grizzard
look
and his
staff.
Look
what Carberry's doing with the O-line.
Oh, like, Carberry's
doing a fantastic job.
I think Carberry's an excellent offensive line coach. I thought that last year.
They're running the ball just well enough. Just well enough. Mm-hmm. Not great, but just well enough that Grizzard's, sticking with it.
Well, think about this if you're Grizzard. You're green as grass. You've never called an offensive play before. And what, the second week of the season, your offensive line is a shambles. You've got to build a game plan with that shambles and offensive line, and you're barely wet behind the ears.
You're now on your third guard, right?
Yeah, yes.
With Jordan out, now you're on number three.
I talked to Tristan Worth about his health. He said he's close to 100%.
Wow.
And that he really, you got to sort of realize that he's kind of just finished his training camp. You know,
Can you have a much better representative for your team than Worf's?
No, and I'm glad
he's fantastic.
I'm glad you brought this up in Lavonte David as well, and there's a reason why I invoked Lavonte David's name here. And, of course, we know, are you that man, Jason Light has. At any rate, when Fred Warner got hurt, immediately, you see, if you watch the replay, immediately Tristan Wirfs is waving at the 49ers bench, screaming, get the trainers out there. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, and I talked to Lavonte about this. Lavonte walked all the way up to the cart. While they're, putting air cast on Warner's leg, he's right up there. And I asked him, "What'd you do that?" He goes, "Well, I have a special bond with linebackers, and Fred Warner's the best in our business, and I really respect the guy." And it was kind of like a respect among warriors kind of thing.
You know what that shows, Steve? Something that we've always known around here. These are good guys. These are good guys. And it's a locker room full of good people.
Yeah, I know Lee was paraphrasing the Jason Light thing on his wall as I am that man, and it's the silhouette of David. It's kind of like at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters, we have the Ira Kaufman.
I am that columnist.
The Ira Kaufman fathead on the wall.
Now, wait a minute. I'm down 6 pounds. It was 7 before I went out for Mexico.
No, the fathead is the trademark of a – it's like a huge head.
Fathead's a brand name. Yeah. I'm not calling you a fathead.
Yeah.
That's I just thought it was a silhouette of my stomach or something.
That's fantastic. Ira, look, Lavonte David, his sack cannot go unspoken here today. It was a huge, huge play in the game. Kind of a loss to the shuffle play because – yeah, they overturned the strip sack nature of it, but the sack was a 10-yard sack that knocked San Francisco out of field goal range, and they punted from there. Bucks didn't do much with it, but it took points off the board, and that would have been a huge momentum shift if they had scored there.
Steve, every time I think number 54 is slowing down a little, to be fair, he's not 27-year-old Lavonte David anymore. Steve, every time I think he's lost a step, and maybe he has. He makes a play. He makes a play in Seattle. He makes a play here. He's still the heart and soul of his defense.
He sure is. There were two plays, though, in the first quarter. Two. Where, man, he looks injured or washed.
And he missed a big tackle in Seattle early.
He either looked injured or washed out. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying he is either one. Yes, he's been battling this knee, which he said was an old injury that sort of crept up on him again. But I don't know if he's got some pain relief at halftime or something, but he is the heart and soul of that defense.
You can't get around Mayfield, Lee.
You just
can't get around him.
No, that run probably turned the game. It really did.
It reminded me of, if you remember, you probably don't, I think it was 2015 or 16, Jameis Winston had a 3rd-and-17 run.
Against Atlanta?
Against Atlanta, and he got half a yard more than he needed. The place went nuts. It was a home game. And this was...
Did the Bucks win the game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. If I remember the play, what Steve's talking about, if I remember correctly, before he gave his last push to get over the first down marker, He actually looked at the first down marker. He was looking for it. You could see clearly. He saw that he was a little bit short, and he gave that one last piece of effort, and he fell over the first down marker.
Winston wasn't a bad scramble.
All right, Ira. Some very important news to share, but first want to remind everybody, thank you, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Just check out those offers. They're extraordinary. And there's so many of them now. Like usually they always have five incredible offers going, maybe three or four. Now it's crazy. BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star Google reviews across the board, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. So Ira, the exciting news is that the Bucks are owners of the best record.
Who would have thought that?
In the NFC with Detroit losing to your beloved Chiefs tonight.
And they're going to Detroit next week.
And they go to Detroit next week, and they lost soundly, Detroit. So they are sitting at 4-2.
The Bucks, they're a little beat up, the Lions. They're down some
not
players.
Not like the Bucks,
not
but
like the Bucks.
Best record of the NFC. Number one seed holding it right now.
And Steve, here's the way, I'm glad you mentioned that. Look, Mayfield called me rat poison, or he said it was rat poison I was suggesting.
That's a Nick Saban.
He didn't call me rat poison.
Yeah. That's an old Nick Saban song.
But I'm not Mayfield, and I don't have to face these players out there. So I'm going to say it. The powers that be have to start thinking, we might get the top seed in the NFC. And history tells us, you get that top seed, you got a very, very good chance to get into the conference title game.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be at home.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say the powers that be need to get together and say we better trade for a friggin' edge rusher.
That's what I mean.
And push this thing over the top.
That's what I mean from the powers that be. Have to look at the big picture, Lee. Look, it's only six games. I understand that. But there's no reason to think this team's going to go in the tank. Bucks?
No way. No way.
Now, they got some tough games. They have Buffalo's a tough game.
Oh, yeah.
The Rams are a tough game.
Yeah.
And, of course, Detroit. Mm-hmm. Tough game. But they've built a cushion, Lee. And bravo for them for building the cushion. They don't have to rush Mike Evans back. They don't have to. They don't take a chance on Mike Evans. If he's cleared, he's cleared.
Mm-hmm.
If it's dubious, you sit him. Well, they're in the catbird seat, Lee.
I would say, okay, fathead, we're out of here. But somebody would think that I was insulting you, and maybe they didn't hear the joke earlier. So I won't say that because they would come down on me hard for disrespecting the sage.
5-1, Steve. 5-1.
5-1. Top of the NFC, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be back later in the week.